Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the word, the living word, the word of God, and your presence in our hearts. And Lord, I ask a special blessing for Pastor Shannon as she comes this morning. Let the anointing flood her being, and also, Lord, the ears and the listening of your people, that we be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Crystal. All right. I'll just snag the chair to put the heavy word on. Put that there. Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everybody?
Blessed and highly favored.
I'm glad you remembered. It is good to be back. I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. The whole time I was away, I didn't worry about you, but I did pray for you. As good as it is to be back, you know how it is with the holiday? One more week would have been great. But that's okay. It is wonderful to be back, and it's a joy to worship with you and to minister with you. You're a fabulous group of people. Did you know that? You really are, and it's such a joy. So I want to thank you for that. You know, one of the things I do, I went to visit my friend Becky in North Battleford. That's a 3-hour and 45-minute drive. So I get together a playlist of songs, worship songs, and I listen to worship songs the whole way there, and it just, time flies. And so this year I decided I'm going to do all new songs. Not songs I know, but all new songs. And I just want to share with you the words. Well, I might even start singing it. The song is, I'm so blessed, I'm so blessed, I've got this heartbeat in my chest. Doesn't matter about the rest. I've got you, Lord, I'm so blessed. On my best day, I'm a child of God, and on my worst day, I'm a child of God. And every day is a good day because I've got you, Lord, in my life. And you know, that was my holiday. That was my vacation time. I'm so blessed, I'm so blessed. I've got this heartbeat in my chest. Doesn't matter about the rest. I've got you, Lord, I'm so blessed. Anyway, you can look it up for yourselves. They sing it way better than I do. But that's where we are. We are so blessed. So I have some very deep theological things for you this morning. Why does Scrooge love Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Because every buck is dear to him. I know, groaners all the way. Fathers, what do they got, dad jokes? How do sheep say Merry Christmas to each other? Feliz Navidad. And here's one that's really stretching it because time-wise it really doesn't work out. But what did Adam say the day before Christmas? It's Christmas, Eve. Well, today is the first Sunday at Advent, and that word Advent means the arrival or coming. It's both. So we're kind of standing in the middle of two realities right now. The fact is that our Messiah, our Jesus, the Lord, it's already happened. His arrival, his first arrival has already happened. And we can look back and we can look through all that he has done. We're not just looking for the baby Jesus. We have the risen Messiah, the King Jesus. And that's who we're looking forward to. The arrival or the second coming of our Lord Jesus as he returns for his bride, the church. So here you are. Do you realize right now you're kind of in the middle of biblical history? Have you thought about that? We know that stuff has happened, but there's still some more to come, right? And that's where we are, kind of in the middle of it. We are people who look back, and this season we remember the birth of not just Jesus, the birth of our Savior and all that it means to us as believers. And now we're also looking forward and actually longing for the coming of our King in all his glory. Amen. Now, one of the things about Camrose Community Church, most of us who've been here a while know this, but some of you who may not know this, we are not a liturgical church. And for those of you who don't know what that means, it means we don't have a liturgy that we follow every week. And, you know, doing Advent and Lent and all those kinds of things. And different faith backgrounds do have those things. But one of the things that we've adopted a few years ago was Advent. And the purpose of Advent is to take this season of Christmas and remember, look back, and let our hearts be established. Once again, let our focus change again to what Jesus has done, why he came. So let me look here at my notes and say, so we started doing this so we could focus on the true meaning of Jesus, our Christmas, and let Jesus be the center of all our celebrations this season. You know, the expectation that the world has of Christmas and how it should look has overshadowed the real meaning of Christmas. And I'm going to say there's some things that happen. What's Christmas about? And people will say, well, it's about family. It's about the meals. It's about getting together. It's about gifts. And all of those things are a part of our celebration, but they really, if they don't materialize the way we think they should, we kind of get disappointed. If we're not people who have family we can celebrate with, and Christmas is all about family, how can I celebrate Christmas? But you see, Christmas isn't all about family gatherings or the great turkey dinner or whatever tradition your family has. Maybe you do that stinky fish thing, all you Norwegianers. But the truth is, it's about Jesus. So no matter what circumstances we have, our focus is Jesus. No matter how many things change about it, our focus in the center is Jesus. And when we think about what happened the night that he was born, how all eternity was affected, the promise of God was fulfilled. And then you see this little package up there and something that was so plain and ordinary. Nothing extraordinary as far as it looked on the outside. Luke 2:11. Sorry, let me put this up here. Oh, I guess I have to turn it on first. That always helps. The angels say to the shepherds, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born. He is the Messiah, the Lord. That moment, the angels made a proclamation and a declaration to the shepherds, declaring the fulfillment of God's word. God is faithful to his promises, faithful to his word, faithful to the things he spoke to us through the prophets. And as we look today at the first day of Advent, this is the week of hope and promise. We look at the hope and the promise. And there the angels were declaring, unto you is born a Savior. When we look at the promises of God throughout Scripture, there were many years that the Lord proclaimed his word. I'm just going to put them up as point form here. Genesis 3:15. Right at the very beginning, right at the moment of the fall of Adam and Eve, the Lord declares he's going to do something. He says, I have put enmity, he's saying this to the devil after he's deceived Eve, I have put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Speaking, of course, of Jesus having to go to the cross. But he has defeated our enemy, Jesus has. Right at the beginning, the promise of God. God said there would be different signs to watch for the Messiah. Isaiah 7:14 says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And will be called and meaning
God with us.
Man, Micah 5:2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, excuse me on that one, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me the one who will rule over Israel, whose origins are from old, from the Ancient of Days. And we know that that's referring to, of course, Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. We knew it's been fulfilled. That's where he was born. Hosea 11:1 says, and out of Egypt I'll call my son. And we know that Joseph and Mary had to flee to Egypt to protect baby Jesus. And there he comes out of Egypt, fulfilling again a sign of God. Now, I'm not going to read it to you, and I forgot to put it up here, but Isaiah 53 talks about the life of Jesus from birth to the death on the cross and then beyond. So we know that, again, we've seen the fulfillment of that. Daniel 7:13-14 says, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like the Son of Man, coming with the clouds of heaven. Then he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And we know the truth of that now. Amen. And then my favorite, and I'm going to say my favorite Christmas prophecy is Isaiah. Let's see if I can get that to, whoops, nope. Go back one here. Is Isaiah, I don't know why it isn't up there. I missed that one too, I guess. I apologize. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And we just can sit and meditate in that for days. How many of you ever need a counselor? How many of you have ever needed a wonderful counselor? Things happen, and here he is. He is the government. I'm not saying he's the government we're seeing, but the government that's on his shoulders, when he comes to rule and reign, man. He's the everlasting Father. He's the mighty God and the Prince of Peace. And if we just, again, sit and listen to those prophetic words about Jesus. See this little sheet here? Say, thank you, Lord. Pastor Shannon decided not to read every single one of them to us today. On this sheet, actually, and I'll make copies for anyone who's interested in my study and you search things out. I came across, I didn't put his name on it, who has done, he says, Prophecies of Jesus. Although this is not exhaustive, you'll find 47 messianic predictions clearly fulfilled in Jesus, along with the supporting references of the Old Testament and the New Testament. So there's all the Old Testament.
Linda gave us a copy of that this morning.
I don't think it's the same one. No, I think it's not the same one. She told me that. She wants mine. That's what she told me. Two-sided. And so on. It is the Old Testament scriptures and the promise, and in the New Testament, the fulfillment. Why do I bring this up, and why do I point it out? It's because God keeps his promises. God is faithful to his word. And let's go. Let me see. I think I still haven't got this right yet. Okay, let me just go ahead one more. I'll come back to that one, I think. From 2 Corinthians 1:20 For no matter how many promises God has made, they are what?
Yes.
In Christ. And so we through him add our
Amen.
As if amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. God is faithful to his promises, and his promises to us is? And we say, amen, that's right. I'm standing in agreement with it. So be it. So be it. God's promise, and he's faithful to his promises. Now, sometimes we've had to wait a while for an answer to a promise, and that can be hard. But you know what? God is faithful to his promises. And because of that, I'm going to go and light the first. See, here's my match. The first candle of Advent, the candle of hope and promise. You see, we can have hope because the God of all creation is a God who answers his, or answer, who keeps his promises. Sorry about that. Now, I want to ask you this. What or who do you hope in or anchor your hope in? Now, I'm going to tell you a little Christmas story. We'll go back. Why don't you go backwards? There. I'm going to tell you a little story about my life. I may have shared a bit of this at some times. You see, one of the things about Christmas is getting gifts, especially when you're a kid, when you're a child. You love to get the gifts. At least I did. Is there anybody else who is like me, or are you all going to lie? So one of the Christmases when I was younger, I asked for about 3 or 4 years, every year, you know, I'd get the shiny Sears catalog, the wish book, go in and look at the pages, and there was one page I always dog tagged. And that was the big red barn with all the animals. Oh, I wanted that so bad. It had the beautiful little cows that were black and white and painted, little piggies, little pink pigs with little hooves that were black, and then chickens, that little red crown on their head and a little yellow beak and little yellow chicks, and there was turkeys, and there was a horse, maybe there was two horses, and I think there might have been a dog and a cat and some fencing. This nice big red barn with a white door that opened. Oh, I wanted that so bad. And I would earmark that page and hope that somehow it would be understood that that was what I wanted. Well, one year our family went and spent Christmas with our grandparents up in Dawson Creek. And there under the tree was a present with my name on it. And as I began to open, tear that paper off, I saw on the box it said, well, you can tell, my hope was so high that I began to tear that paper off of that gift, only to find that it was not the farm set I had wanted. It was not the one from the wish book. And so when I opened the lid, I knew that this wasn't going to be what I wanted. It wasn't what I hoped for. And sure enough, inside was this farm set. And the silly box it came in was the barn. And the animals were all just solid chunks of colored plastic. Including to this day, I remember the turkey was green. Who does that? Now, the truth is, today, if I'd gotten that, all I would do is take my paint scent and paint them the way I want. But I didn't have that savvy back then. So in an instant, my hope had turned to disappointment. This was not what I wanted, and I politely said thank you to my grandparents for the gift, which I did play with, even that stupid green turkey. But I still, you can tell, I still shake my head at the green turkey. I don't know. Anyway, so my whole point in sharing this little story with you is because it really was not about this farm set. It was really about where my heart, where my hope was anchored. And though, you know, it's a story about that type of thing, I wonder if how many of us today can identify with things that we have put our hope into. Sometimes it's a situation, or it's something we want, or it's a person. And we put our hope into something that just will never measure up. How many of you got Christmas presents that you did want, and how many of you still remember what they were? I'll tell you what, I got a lot of Christmas presents I wanted, but I don't remember half of them, or even more than half. I think I remember three, including a turkey that was green. You see, sometimes we let other things overshadow the hope that we have in something real, everlasting. When I share my story about what I put my hope into, and I'm asking you, what was it that you've been longing for, hoping for, eagerly anticipating in a person or a thing or a situation that just has not materialized? We think that'll make me happy, that'll bring me peace, that's where I'll finally have joy. But you only ends in disappointment. You feel let down. My little Christmas story is kind of a view on that bigger picture and stories of some of our lives. And the fact that we have misplaced our hope in something that can't internally bring us hope. When we go back and we look at this little picture of this little package and think about Christmas, that Christmas package is way nicer. And sometimes we look at all the fluff and the feathers and the bows and the bells and the baubles and the shiny and forget the real Christmas came in a very simple, basic package. When we think about how our Savior came to a first-time mom of a teenage woman and a man who was about to divorce her, but both heard the word of God and became obedient. And in that, the world was blessed. In that, people they never even thought about us were blessed because a Savior was born. A Savior was born in simple parents in a very unattractive place, a barn. I hope it didn't have a green turkey. And he was laid in a manger. You know, it's interesting, the symbolicness of that, because he is the bread of life and laid in a place that fed animals. Just my little wow. I want to tell you, though, that we sometimes misplace our hope. Hope is still a good thing. What is hope exactly? Hope is joyful, confident expectation of good, of salvation. So the idea of hope is that you're looking forward to the future with enthusiasm and confidence and expectation that there is going to be blessing and it's going to be fulfilled. So hope is a good thing. So what can we put our hope in? Well, we've already said it. It's Jesus. But I want you to turn with me to the book of Romans, and I'll give you chapter and verse in a minute. And I want to do a little bit of laying out of the book of Romans. It's a book written by Paul. And one of the things that I was asked to do when I was in Bible college and did, and that is sit down, take some time, shut off the world, and read the book of Romans in one sitting. And if you can, in fact, I'd encourage you to do this, read it out loud to yourself from beginning to end. And it's not going to take you 5 hours. It's not that long of a book. But I bet you the Holy Spirit will bring such revelation to your heart. And Paul lays out for us from chapters 1 to chapters 11 a beautiful foundation of theology. He talks about the fact that we were condemned before God, but how God has shown us how good he is and how gracious he is. That he himself is the one who made a way for us. Paul reminds us again of the promises made to Abraham And then he goes all the way through to talk about justification, sanctification, and glorification. I'm going to sneeze. Sorry about that. He talks about how God calls people to himself and lays out before us the beautiful truths that the scriptures aren't something old and antiquated, but they're for us today. We actually can live out our lives daily what the scriptures have declared to us. And all the way through from 12 to 14, it talks about us living that way. Oh, and 15 as well. And that all of this isn't just for the Jews, but it's for the Gentiles as well. Nobody is left out. But now I'm going to get you to turn with me to Romans 15. We're just going to go to one verse here. Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you all with... No, let me try that again. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And as Paul is speaking this, it's like a blessing or a prayer that he's wrapping up his letter to the Romans. He goes on in 16, and most of that is just greetings, but 15 here he says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What a blessing. May the God of hope, let's start there. May the God of hope, our Lord God himself, is the source of our hope and the supplier of our hope. Right? Hope is a part of his very nature. The essence of God is hope. He isn't one who just inspires it. He is hope. Not only does he do that, but look, it says, this God of hope, our God of hope, fills us with joy and peace as we trust in him. When we look to all those promises that have been fulfilled in Christ, he is trustworthy. He is faithful to his promises. So this God of hope, our God of hope, our supplier and our source, who is faithful to his word, we can trust him. And it says, as we trust him, guess what happens? We're filled. Not just a little bit. We're filled to how much? Overflowing. Man, you know, sometimes we look at God as being a bit stingy. If you catch yourself, now maybe you don't, and I praise God if you don't, if you're past that. But sometimes we do. We think, Lord, where's your provision? You're just... But he's not a stingy God. He's not parceling out a little bit of hope over here for Keith and Neil. Oh, well, let's see. We'll give a tiny little bit to Sandra. Maybe a little bit to Shirley. Get a little less to David. I don't know. That's not our God. That's not our God. He's a God who gives abundantly and lavishly. And what does he give us here? This God who is our source and our supplier of hope. Joy and peace. Hope, joy, and peace. Notice that. Joy and peace, they're together. You know, sometimes we think about joy as being a bubbly personality, right? But really, joy is something different. It is about inwardly, in our soul, in our being satisfied. And being at peace because we know how good our God is. Now, it's going to well up in delight. It wells up. But you know, just because you see a joyful, cheerful, bubbly person, that's just a personality. Because you can meet a very calm, quiet, kind of introverted person, and they're full of just as much joy, hope, and peace as the... And we need to recognize it's about what's happening on the inside. Joy and peace are coupled together. I've got a couple of quotes here that I thought were brilliant I'm going to share with you. The first one is from Charles Spurgeon. Peace is joy resting, and joy is peace dancing. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Peace is joy resting, and joy is peace dancing. Just, this gives you quite the image, doesn't it? That's awesome. Let's move on. This is from Leon Morris. Joy relates to the delight of anticipation in seeing one's hope fulfilled. Peace results from the assurance that God will fulfill those hopes. Wow, hey. Joy relates to the delight in anticipating we're going to see those hopes fulfilled. And peace is because we have assurance that it will be. That's exciting. You know, we started this morning by looking at the fact that we're kind of in the middle of two realities. We've experienced the arrival of our Messiah, our Savior, and we're waiting on his return. And in this, we can have joy. We anticipate it with delight and assurance he will fulfill that. And we have the assurance in every promise that he's ever made that he will be faithful to it in our lives. When we look at this and we look at Jesus and what he has accomplished, his birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension brings a finished work for us. Jesus is the light of the world. Wasn't that wonderful what Wendy shared with us this morning with the children? Jesus is the light of the world. And he shed his blood, and his shed blood has brought to us. Brought to you and me our forgiveness of sin. He said, I've come that you may have life and have it to the fullest. He's faithful to his word and his promises. He says, the things you've seen me do, you will do and even greater. He's faithful to his promises. He says, say to this mountain,
be thou removed.
And don't doubt, and it'll be moved. You see, we can trust him. We can know that he is faithful to that promise. Because we see all that God has fulfilled to even bring Jesus, the Messiah for us, and all that has happened and continues to happen, he is faithful. And the promises are there for us. It's our inheritance. Our inheritance. And you, as our, we declared this morning as saints, we get to participate. We've been qualified to participate in the inheritance. He is faithful. And as we think about how faithful our God is and how again and again and again he's proved himself throughout the centuries, and that we can see Jesus, the light of the world, who is the light in us, who reminds us again and again by the presence of his Holy Spirit how good we have it in the Lord. We can have hope. Even in our messy situations, we have hope because we're anchoring ourselves in him, not in the outcome of a situation, but in him who will do for us beyond what we could dream or imagine. In closing this morning, I want us each to take a moment, take this moment, to focus on the God who is hope, our God who is hope. And I want you to close your eyes for a second and just Let Holy Spirit speak to you. And if there's something on your heart, a misplaced hope, maybe it's something this morning you need to surrender to the Lord. Give it to him. Let him take care of it. And also leave all those disappointments and all those things that have made you feel a little hopeless with him. And let the God of hope fill you with his peace. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, Papa. You're faithful. You're faithful. And we surrender all these misplaced hopes to you. And thank you for the forgiveness that comes through Jesus. That we can just turn to you, Lord, and rejoice that you, the God of hope, will fill us with joy and peace as we keep trusting you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Why don't you stand with me? And I'm going to close with this benediction. We've already heard it this morning from Paul. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.